recovered from that little video yet, have you? Wow, what a great sorry, Children's Church. See, I'll get ahead of myself. Children's Church. If anybody that's involved with Children's Church, you can leave, be dismissed. And I love these beautiful flowers that was given for the Gary Baldwin family here this morning. Also, I thank you, Starnes girls, for all that. That's beautiful. But guys, that video of the guy, you know, with the glasses, boy, is that not, how many days have you had like that where you feel like things are falling apart and you're grumpy and grouchy and everything, it just seems like it's not going good. But if we could just put those lenses on, the lenses of Christ, and look at the world as He sees it, I dare say it would change the way that we look at things. Well, I have been blessed, let me tell you, already. Thank you, ladies. If it wasn't for the women, where would we be? I wouldn't be standing here, would I? I have a mom. Thank God for women. And a wife. Guys, you know yourself, the women have really been a long time to be the backbone of our church. And I'm so thankful for that. I think that the guys, though, in this church realize that we have a lot of men that are leaders, but we have some awful good women, too, that do a lot of good things. And I'm so thankful for that. Thank you for the... Ellen, you did a better job than me as far as the announcements. I might have to just get you to do that every week. That's awful nice. Thank you. Thank you so very much. Yeah, I saw that reminder of your food. Don't forget your food bank, and I've already put mine back there. I know that a lot of us, it's easy to forget, so constant reminder of keeping that food basket full so that we can feed others in our community. So I thank you for that. Well, you see up on the screen our title today, The Mind of Christ, and we'll be looking at Philippians 2, 5 through 11, and let's read those scriptures. Go ahead and stand on our feet and reverence God's Word. Philippians 2, 5 through 11, some of the most powerful scriptures in all of the Bible. I want us to think about that today. Philippians 2, 5 through 11, and Paul says, "Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for your presence that we feel here already. Thank you that we're not here by coincidence, but by divine providence you have brought us here. Thank you, God, for the women of this church and the great testimony and all the things that we see that you're doing here, and it's all about you, and we thank you for that. I pray for each one of these people that are here today. You know the weights and the things and the burdens of their heart. I pray especially for one here. If they don't know you as personal Savior, may they get a picture of Christ today that they've never seen, and may you be glorified and lifted up. And Lord, may you hide me behind the cross today that your word can go forth. In Jesus' name we pray. May be seated. Thank you. Has God ever given you a song? Has he ever, like today, man, that old rugged cross, how many times have we sung that? You know, and yet when I couldn't even hardly function. Sometimes he gives us that song that just catches us just right where we are. Have you ever had that happen in your life? I mean, it's an amazing thing how, man, I remember Avalon's, "He's Everything to Me." You remember that song? I was going down the road to preach somewhere. I was wore slam out. And that song come out, and I don't know there's some miles there that I don't even know how I was driving. I didn't know. I don't think my hands were on the steering wheel the whole time. And God just did that for me. And it was like by the time I got there, I was so fired up because what God can do through a song. When we, this past year up in Gatlinburg at Extreme Winter with the J team, we went up. We got to see several groups, and Building 429 was there, it was just one of their songs there that had "We Will Not Be Shaken." And then after we come home, I learned about Homer and what he was going to do, and how we were shaken. But that song kept coming to mind. I even kept saying, you know, that no matter what comes our way, through fire or pouring rain, we won't be shaken. No, we won't be shaken. And that, and it meant so much to me at that time. It just, like, wow, it carried me through, and I played it over and over. Sandy probably got tired of hearing it. But, I, you know, whenever it, I was like, we won't be shaken. Well, our verses today, I thought one of the interesting things is, as I was studying it out, it's debated, theologically debated, that this was a song, that it was sung. And I thought, man, how appropriate. What a song that whenever we're going through the difficulties of life, and I know some of us are, and when we face the difficulties of life, what a song that we could pull up God's Word here and sing. And as I want us to look at the mind of Christ and how we've been talking about the unity that's needed in the church last week, and Paul was talking about the unity through humility and how we're to serve each other, not to do anything with conceit or vain knowledge, all these things, but out of lowliness of heart. Let nothing be done in verse 3 and through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself, as he was finishing off last week's lesson. And he said, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also the interest of others. Man. And he brings that, you know, and that's kind of one of those things that just catch you crossways. And then he comes and he said, let me give you the greatest example of all this that I'm asking you to do. The greatest example that's ever lived is Christ. And the mind of Christ, and that's how he starts out when he says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. He's saying this is where the power comes from. This is where the model, the example that I've challenged you to do in these previous verses, he's actually connected and he's bridging the what he's already spoke about, and we'll talk about what he's going to speak about, where we're to shine our lights in a crooked and perverse generation next week's lesson. And so he's connecting these two things, and the hinge thing, the thing right in the middle is Jesus. Every song that we sang today, I mean, it's all pointing to Christ. That is the answer. And as we were talking in our J team, as we were downstairs with the youth at, in our Sunday school class, and we were talking about a young man that took his life not too long ago. Why does that have to happen? 14 years old, and we hear that time and time again. It's the lack of hope in our world. And yet we are called to take that hope and to shine that hope and to see that world through the lens, just like the video, to see people. Not just, it's not just about us and getting caught up in the hustle and bustle of life, but to see people through Christ's eyes. And that's what Paul's laying out here, the mind of Christ. And first, I want you to see, we're going to look at the cradle, the cross, and the crown. I want you to see the cradle in verses 5 through 7. The example of Jesus and his humility. Look at what 5 and 7 says. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then he says, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Wow, the cradle. I want you to think about Christ and where he's come from and where he's taken us, what he's telling us to do. Let this mind be in us. What mind? I want you to see some things that Christ did. He's not only looking backwards towards the verses of not doing anything in vain conceit, but he's going to challenge us next week to be that light in the world. And he says, this is what you're doing. This is your example of doing that. The cradle was, look, he relinquished his place. What are you talking? Look, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. The word used here for being occurs 59 times in the New Testament, and every time it has a reference to prior existence. You understand that Jesus was God. I was talking just the other day about certain religious groups that does not believe Jesus is God, that he was a created being of God. No, he was God. In fact, Paul said, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. He relinquished his place in heaven to come to earth for us. And I thought, I was telling him today, think about how he came. He came in a feed trough. He was born in a manger, in a food trough. Man, you know about feeding cows and taking care of cattle. He was born in a food trough. Jesus, God. He relinquished his place to come to this earth. He was original in the origin of humanity. Jesus Christ is not simply like God. He was the very nature and substance of God. All that God is, Jesus was and is and ever will be. He was God. He was God. C.S. Lewis, in his book, Miracles, This is what he put beautiful. Listen to what he says. He comes down from the heights of absolute being into time and space, down into humanity. But he goes down to come up again and bring the whole ruined world up with him. What a beautiful statement. The incarnation is the central miracle of Christianity. John told us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he goes on in 1:14, he said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He's God. The most grand and wonderful thing that we could ever comprehend was that God came to this earth in the form of a man. That's the miracle of Christianity. I was thinking sometime back when we lived in Raleigh, had a sweet ant problem. Does anybody know what sweet ants are? Can we know what that is? They're always in your house, right? Never fails it. Don't matter what you do. You put all the stuff up, clean it. Has nothing to do with that. Seems like the sweet ants are always coming in the house. And I'm thinking, I'm just going to kill you. Why do you keep coming in here? You know, you're debating with ants. And how you see how foolish that is? I'm sitting there talking to them. Look. Why are you in there? Big string of them, and they're going to the hunting, you know, or whatever they can find. And I'm saying, why are you in here? And it struck me. How in the world could I ever communicate? An ant cannot understand me, can he? It doesn't matter how much I scream or get down there on the floor and say, go away! They don't understand me. The only way that I could make them understand me would be what? To become an ant. I want you to know something. God did something so much greater than become an ant. He became a human being, that which he created. He stepped out of time and came to this earth in the form of a man. And he did it in the most humble way, in a cradle, as a baby. Can you ladies think about that? That little baby that's born and you take care of it, that the God, the creator of the universe, that sustains it all, keeps it all in existence, which Colossians says, he came in the form of a baby that had to be taken care of, that had to wipe his nose, change his diaper, all these things. That's how Jesus chose to come to earth. God came to this earth. He relinquished his place. But not only that, he renounced his privileges. Because the Bible says, it says right here, but he made himself of no reputation. The next slide, Chris. There you go. He renounced his privileges. What are you talking about? It says he made himself no reputation in verses 7-8. J.B. Phillips said he stripped himself of all privileges. Stripped himself of his privileges. Not only his place, but his privileges. Now listen to this. Not his deity, but his privileges. He never ceased to be God, or he would have disqualified himself as Redeemer. What do you mean by that, Dave? The perfect, righteous justice of God and the wrath of God that was poured out on mankind could only be paid for with a perfect sacrifice. It had to be complete. It had to be God. There's nobody ever walked this earth but Jesus that was that perfect sacrifice. I was reading this morning in Exodus where it was talking about how they would bring the lambs and the goats and all these things that they would get that first year with no blemish and all these. And in Hebrews it says what? That all the blood of bull and goats did not pay atonement for one sin. You say, well, why in the world did he do it? It was pointing to the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It was pointing that one day God would step out of heaven, the portals of heaven, come to this earth, walk this place as a man. So he had to be God to pay the price for what God's wrath was poured upon us. Only one way it could be appeased. That's why he had to be God. That's why it's so important. He didn't relinquish himself. He didn't renounce his privileges as being God. He renounced his divine attributes. He didn't renounce deity. He was God, but his privileges of that deity. Forever God and forever will be. But when he walked this earth, you know what? He renounced those privileges. We saw every now and then the miracles that he did. Think about that. He could do anything at any time, but what did he do? with humanity all around him, hustle bustle. Did everybody that come in contact with him get healed? Was everybody that just saw him, were they healed? It was certain ones for certain periods of time. And we see all through the scripture, it was to reach a lost humanity is the reason that he came. And he gave up and he renounced his privileges to do that. Well, not only did he relinquish his place, renounce his privileges, but look at this one. He restricted his presence. He said, what are you talking about? Taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Jesus gave up the universe to come to a little, small country in Palestine. Think about that. Omnipresent, everywhere at all time, God, he decides he's going to step out into time, relinquish his place, to renounce his privileges, and make his presence known in a little, small country. Just a little place. He never went outside of Palestine, and yet we stand in America, thousands of miles away, 2014, still speaking about this man. I thought about, you know, people, they oh, I'm an atheist. I don't believe it. Every time you write the date, you're going against your own self. Why? Because 2014 years ago, something important happened. That our own time and our date is even marked by it. Every time you write it out, you're saying something in 2014 years ago of great significance happened. And what was that? God came to this earth. And he gave up the omnipresence to come down to a little piece of land that's a miracle, that is surrounded by enemies that would love to snuff it out at any time. But God walked that earth. It's his chosen people. And that's where he chose to walk in and affect the entire world as we know it. Form is the same word that he uses in verse 6 where he says, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery. Then he says he gave up the universe to come in this place, taking on the form of a bondservant. Not only did he come as a man, but he came as a servant. Paul in Romans 8:3 told the Romans that God sent forth his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Well, that's the cradle. That's how he came. He came to this earth in that form, the form of that little baby God. But next is the cross. Look at verse 8, the example of Jesus in obedience. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Let me tell you, I had a little spell when I read this. How many times I've read it? And countless times, or some of those times that it counts, to think about being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. God didn't just come to this earth to be that little baby, but he grew up to become a man, that he could be killed. Sacrificed for you. That's the cross. Mark said, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. No accident here. This was the program of God from before the foundations of the world. This was God's plan. The writer of Hebrews says, but we see Jesus who was being a little lower than the angels, or who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. You see, it was that man, that perfect man, that God man, that came to this earth to give his life. He was born to die. Born to die. From the cradle to the cross. How much does Jesus love you this much? This much. There's nobody sitting here today that he does not love, that he does not care about, that he does not want to come and be a part of your life. I don't care what you've done. We sit right here with that casket and Gary Baldwin yesterday evening. And we talked about Gary and how he had a bad testimony, and I didn't know him that way. That's what I told him. So I didn't know him in that form. All I heard that he used to be mean and rough and do drugs and all that. I heard that, but I saw a different man. Why? Because Gary Baldwin had given his life to Christ. No, he couldn't go back and undo those things of the past, But from then on, he walked in the ways of Jesus. And all I knew was a humble man, quiet man, that would come to church at the very risk of his life. We didn't know it at the time that he passed out, did we? But that was his heart shutting down, was willing to come to church, and that formed. Does that sound like a man that couldn't care less about anybody else? He loved the people, and he loved Jesus, and that's what Christ can do to anybody. The only reason I'm standing here before you today is the only reason that I'm not dead or in jail or whatever is because of Jesus and what he did for me. He came for the cross, from the cradle to the cross. But lastly, we can't leave him now. Man, you know what he did? He died and they buried him, but 3 days he got up. 3 days he arose, and we're talking about the crown now. The cradle, the cross, and the crown. The example of Jesus results in the exaltation. Look what he says in 9. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those in earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Luke records for us the eyewitness account in Acts 1:9-11. That we know that Jesus' ascension, you remember there when he's recorded there in Exodus, told him to go, and he meets them there. And then all of a sudden when he gets done giving the Great Commission, it's like, he's out of here, man. Can you imagine? They're standing like this. And the angels, even they look around and say, why are you looking up? This same Jesus is going to come back in like manners. In other words, quit looking up and get to work. And you know what? They did. That's why we're here today, by the way. But this ascension, can you imagine that day? Can you imagine that day? No more cradle, no more cross, but heading for a crown. Can you imagine when he entered in the gates of heaven that day, the celebration that was going on? That ascension was the beginning of his exaltation. And it says, and that was the beginning of his exaltation, and he's seated at the right hand of God forever making intercession. That's where our Savior is now. He sits beside the Father. And when Satan comes to accuse you, don't think that he does it. He's our adversary. And he wants to accuse all the time. You know what Jesus said? No problem. Lord, I got this one. He's covered by the blood. That's it. Boop. He can accuse all he wants to. Therefore, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. You will never stand condemned for your sin. But when you receive Jesus Christ as your atonement for sin, you will never give payment for your sin in front of God the Father and to be in the seat of Christ one of these days. Oh, you'll give an account of the things you've done since you've received it, but you'll never give account for your sin. Why? Because you're covered by the blood. That's it. He makes intercession for us. You know, but even Paul, in his scripture, he goes even beyond that, don't he? He goes beyond on where Christ is seated now. I want us to think about something. So studying this out, forever changed. He was forever changed. Think about it. When he stepped out of the portals of heaven, he became the God-man. That's the way he went back. One of these days, that's the way you'll see him change for eternity because of the price that was paid for your sin. I think one of these days, when we get there, he'll say, here's the scars that I bore for you. And we'll spend eternity praising him, forever changed for eternity future. Jesus is God, man. That's what he did for us. But Paul even looks past that to a time where he says that every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess. We know that that's not true of our day-to-day, is it? Every knee's not bowing and every tongue's not confessing. If it was, what a utopia we would be living in. But this is the time right now, the time of the Gentiles, and when it's full and the last one comes in, it'll be over. Every person, when the coronation day and the trumpet sounds of God and it's over, every person that's ever drawn a breath on this earth will bow before the King. I don't care how proud you are or how staunch you are, maybe in your stubbornness of maybe, well, I don't want to live that. I want to give in. I don't want anybody to control my life. One day you won't have a choice. You will be on your knees before. for Jesus Christ. Every knee, it doesn't matter what leader that thought they were the best it ever was, they're going to bow before the King. Not only that, but every tongue is going to confess. Boy, I tell you, this is our chance now. I don't want to be forced. Nobody should ever be forced to do anything. You'll be forced to your knees because you won't be able to stand before the King. And you'll be forced, if you've never received Him, you'll be forced to say He's Lord. I want you to know today, if you don't know Him, why not say it now? Why not receive Him now? Why not confess Him now? The time is short. Today, in fact, the Scripture says today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. Today is the appointed day. In this moment, the cycle will be completed. The one who was humiliated will now be exalted. The one who was brought low will now be raised high. Jesus, by His very example, teaches us the way up is the way down. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord Jesus. That's what Peter says. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you. Since Christ humbled Himself, we must be willing to humble ourselves. The unity of the church has its extreme example. If Christ would do that for us, can we? Here's the deal. If Jesus was willing to die for us, can we not be willing to live for Him? Put our penny ante wants and needs, what we want behind, and put what He desires of us first. And get together in unity, not plastic, not putting on a show, but understand that there's going to be times in our lives we disagree, but one thing we can agree on, Jesus is Lord. And the answer for lost humanity outside these doors, I love that sign, now you're entering your mission field, that you are to carry that gospel into a world that has no hope, where young people are taking their life, where moms and dads are splitting up, where families are at each other's throats, where all these things, where people just needing to be loved, like the video, that's when it becomes real. That's when it becomes relevant. The cross, or the cradle, the cross, and the crown. Because He stands King of Kings and Lord of Lords forever. Well, our applications. How can we apply this to our life? Follow Christ in His humility. Follow Christ in His humility. Whatever it is, be humble people that just love Jesus. Number two, what is the Lord asking you to do today? Today is the day for obedience. You might be lost. Boy, I would love to tell you about a Savior and how it is that you can receive Him. You realize that it's the Holy Spirit of God which is in here, heavy, heavy. He's here for a purpose. You might have turned that down hundreds and hundreds of times. You might have been pricked in your heart. You might think, I need to quit doing this or I need to quit doing that. That's a lie from hell. Just receive Christ. Just ask Him to forgive you of your sins. I would love to talk to you about that. Lastly, how can your life exalt Jesus? How can you, where you are, that job you're planted in, that school that you go to, the people that you have in contact with, how can your life exalt Jesus? Well, I'm going to ask you to come play, Linda, as we're finishing up. I know the Lord is here, and I know He's doing a work in somebody's heart. Now, you say, what can we do? Well, lost people, please, somebody that's lost, if you need to know Christ, please come see me. Nothing I'd rather do than tell you about how you can receive Christ as your Savior. Come and bow before Jesus this morning. Don't wait. Save people, what can we do? Come and bow before Jesus this morning. Maybe you're going through a rough time. Maybe it is that you've just lost your focus on what's the important thing. Come and bow before Jesus this morning, like we'll all be doing one day. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to turn it over to Brittany. God's here. What's He want? What does He want? Follow Him in obedience. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much. God, human words can never exalt you the way that you need to be exalted. These scriptures are so powerful, so powerful. And yet I guess the sermon of Ellen in that video covers it more than anything else. What lenses are we looking through the world at? And maybe somebody was convicted and realized they're just going through life and not looking with the lenses of Christ. Maybe somebody here knows they've never received Christ. Their heart's about to beat out of their chest. Don't let them leave. Oh, Holy Spirit, please speak to their heart. Maybe somebody here that's been convicted and say, it's been a while since I bowed before the King. I just want to come and bow and praise Him for what He's doing in my life and how He's changed me. God, we turn it over to You. However You want, Lord, we're open. And we're going to praise You for what goes on. In Jesus' name, amen. You can stand to your feet, please. Talk maybe somebody to hear that it's awkward for you to come forward and those kind of things maybe for any list, and please see me after church. If God's Holy Spirit has spoke to you about receiving Christ as your Savior, nothing I would rather talk to you about. I'll take the time out. I'll show you in God's Word. Please, please don't leave with the Spirit of God working in your life. We don't want to do that in any way. And so I just want you to know that we're here for you, that we love you. Anything that we can do, please, don't take this for granted. God is here, and He's required, He's wanting something. Make sure when you leave here, you've done everything that you need to be in obedience to Him. And then go serve Him with gladness. Go serve Him with gladness. I'm going to finish. I'm going to ask somebody to pray. Howard, I want you to close in prayer, okay? Closes in prayer, and I love you guys. Remember tonight. Tonight, 6 o'clock, we're going to be studying about the cross in the fellowship hall. Please come out. Please come out as we're continuing that focus on the cross. 5 o'clock is the Oklahoma team meeting. I love everyone that you hired.